Well, hey, everyone. I am very privileged this week for our culture segment here on The Boundless Show to be talking to Steve DeWitt. Steve, welcome to The Boundless Show.
It's great to be here, and I am very thankful for the chance to talk to you.
Yeah, well, this is going to be great. Many of you probably know Steve, or at least his name sounds familiar, because we have posted a couple of his articles on Boundless. He has blogged for the Gospel Coalition. If any of you remember the article that we circulated on our social media about loneliness, and then he also talked about, well, we just posted not too long ago, his sermon, The Bachelor Pastor. In fact, I think we posted it, and then we had like 10 different people say, hey, don't forget, you know, did you hear about this sermon? And I'm like, hello, it's on our site. But anyway, a lot of you that really resonated with you. Steve is the pastor of Bethel Church out in Crown Point, Indiana, and has been, as his sermon like that I just mentioned indicates, a bachelor pastor there for, how long is it now, Steve? Like 14 years?
Since 1997, 15 years.
Okay, well, that's a long run. That is good. So he is the senior pastor there. He is also the author of the book Eyes Wide Open, Enjoying God in Everything, a book that's really on beauty and really how God is the designer and the author of all beauty. And why is it that the things that resonate with our hearts really are sourced out of him? And so a book that was published not too long ago. But Steve, you have a story that recently had a big mile marker in it, and that is that you got married at the end of August. So I need to say congratulations for that, first of all.
Thank you.
Very exciting.
Very happy about that.
Yes, that's great. And I was telling you before we started taping that you you got to marriage within a year, and so that's well within our parameters here at Boundless, so we applaud you for that. So success there.
Thank you.
I have to give you a hard time. But I want to talk to you today, and this is actually going to be a two-part interview, so make sure that you all out there catch the second half of this when we post it next. But I want to talk to you about your story, because you got married at the end of August, and you were 44 years old when you got married. And I want to ask you, knowing that and now looking back on your story, I mean, is there an overarching, I mean, what you know now, and your wife is Jennifer, we'll talk, you know, a little bit about her and your relationship as well. But looking back, you know, you're now almost 2 months in. Comparing that, say, to when you were in college, what would you, when people ask you about your story, and just for a little summary of, did you think that this would be your story? What do you say to them, Steve?
Well, I was one of these strange guys in college that, you know, there's a lot of guys in college that are like, okay, I'll get to marriage someday. I want to get into my career. I want to, you know, finish my MBA or whatever. That wasn't me. When I was 18, I decided to start praying for my wife, and I did that pretty much every week until I got married. So that's like 25, 26 years of praying for my wife. I was very conscious in college, even, of looking for the right kind of woman, and you know, I had my radar was definitely on high, and I did all of this because I was anticipating that I would get married and kind of follow the normal course of things. And we all know this is written in the sky. This is the normal course of things. You go to college, you meet somebody, you marry shortly thereafter, and then, you know, the 2.1 kids and dog and all that comes from it. So
especially if you go to a Christian college. That should accelerate the process.
That's why we go to the Christian college.
I know. That's why we drop all that money. Okay, go ahead.
Right. So I just assumed that would be the case. And I look back on it now in God's program for me and his providence. It didn't happen. And as I moved through, got older, I continued to think, well, it's going to happen here sometime, anytime. It wasn't happening. And maybe a lot of the Boundless team can relate to what happens when you're getting older and unmet desires and expectations are now becoming increasingly unmet. That was my story. I took no vows of celibacy. I was not a monk. There was no lack of desire for women or anything like that. It was all there. It was all on high. It just was not, it didn't happen. I don't even know how else to say it. It just didn't happen. I was a red-blooded American male from the beginning, mm-hmm. and longing for that and hoping for that, praying for it. God had a different plan.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the timeline here, because I mean, I think there are some guys out there that find themselves, say, in their 30s and they realize that they didn't just date a lot. Did you actually date women? I mean, kind of what was your experience post-college and obviously moving into the pastorate and what you did there? What did that look like?
Well, I have dated all the whole time. I have, as a pastor, there's some downsides to being a pastor. Not every girl like grows up thinking wouldn't be great to be a pastor's wife, but the positive side is that you are in a public position, and if you're single, everybody knows that you're single. So that I was an associate pastor for years, and my senior pastor would constantly bring up my singleness and mock me, and there was big laughter in the congregation. Never bothered me. I viewed it as free advertising, and it indeed it was that. So I kind of enjoyed the. It was sort of like eHarmony without the monthly fee, mm-hmm. basically.
Exactly.
And I did date. I dated and prayed, and again, just never ultimately found the one that I wanted to marry.
Okay, so this is where every woman who is listening is saying, seriously, Steve, seriously, you didn't find one in all this time. So my question is, when we look at, say Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds what is good and finds favor with the Lord, we often say this at Boundless that, okay, guys, this doesn't mean that you just sit back and wait for someone to show up or wait for someone that like meets your ideal list or whatever. Did you have to reevaluate like what you were looking for in any sense? And what kind of pressure did you feel? I mean, obviously you said your pastor was putting pressure on you and kind of making fun of you, but did you ever sit back and kind of take stock and say, okay, really, like maybe now I hit 30, am I, quote, doing something wrong?
Yes, I would say that I did and continued to. I mean, I continued to date through my 30s and halfway through my 40s. So ongoing self-evaluation, walking the beach and praying and trying to say, God, am I looking at this wrong? I look back at it now, and I think that a couple of the areas that at least I would call weaknesses for me, and maybe some can relate to this, when you are dating and you're dating various people, I found that over time, if I was to date somebody, have a couple dates with them, there were always qualities that I liked about them, and then there were always concerns or things that maybe were less desirable. And what happened, and I speak for myself, over time, you keep adding to the list of qualities that you like. And you also keep adding to the qualities that you don't like, so that subtly the profile now in your mind is impossible to meet. Because everybody is a sinner, and even the godliest Christian man or woman has things that are qualities that you find attractive and are desirable. And there are always things that, the remnants of the fall and that sin nature and things that are, things that in a relationship the gospel and grace have to cover. And I think that over time what happened to me was that subtly my criteria list was impossibly long. And I think it made it hard for me to start a relationship with a fresh perspective. And it really was, a hurdle for me. Even though I didn't want it to be and prayed it wouldn't be, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. So did you come to a point then where you had to reassess that and kind of whittle the list down a little bit? Because I know I mean, you know, Martha and I on the show talk about this a lot, about how, you know, maybe we sat in youth group as teens or whatever, and this was one of those exercises of the 80s and 90s of, you know, ladies, write out your lists for the godly men that you want and then just pray through it and God will deliver. And, you know, we have this list of like 50 qualities and just, you know, trusting God that he's going to put every one of them on a silver platter for us, when in reality, you know, it was probably a la Gary Thomas, you know, sacred marriage. Like, let's look at what's really important here and start maybe whittling that list down a little bit. How did you kind of reassess what you really needed as opposed to what you wanted?
Yeah. Well, and this is where I think there's such a difference in Christian dating with dating in the just the secular culture. As a Christian, what I am looking for, or what I ought to be looking for, are qualities of godliness that make for really great spouses. I think the better the Christian, the better the spouse. And those criteria often are things that aren't high on the list when you're younger, but they become higher, I think, as you get older. And now, here I am 2 months into marriage, I would say I should have had those things even higher. And what I mean by that is that, you know, for a guy, when you're 18, you know, you're looking for a smoking hot wife and somebody that makes you look good. It's kind of about you, you know, and she makes me look good. And as you get older, I have found that those things are, the shelf life of them is not very long. And the qualities that God, that Christ is producing in a godly person, namely forgiveness, integrity, love for the Lord, ability to apply the gospel, I would add qualities like conversation. That's one thing I would say even after 2 months. You spend a lot of time with each other in marriage. You better be able to talk with each other and enjoy doing that, or marriage is going to be a long, lonely time. And these are all internal qualities, and many of them that matter are spiritual qualities, which I think I can speak for men. Most men, myself included, in the past, did not value as much as I should have. And even now, married, see how important, now I happen to marry a wonderful godly woman who's a great conversationalist, and these are things that I'm very thankful for, but how easy it would have been to miss the things that matter the most, given the kinds of things that the culture says I ought to be looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
Get at what you're getting at. Mm-hmm. Like the list, you know, you said the list. Mm-hmm. I've never had a list written out, maybe in my mind, but the things that I'm valuing on that list say more about me than the other person.
Okay. Can you give an example of that? What's a good example?
Yeah. Well, when I remember one time I was talking with a girl and she had a potential date, and she was so excited because the guy drove a 4x4 pickup truck. And she said, I always wanted to marry a guy with a 4x4 pickup truck. And I just thought to myself, what are you talking about? Why do you care about that? That said more about her than it did him. And I think the things that we are wanting, all of them can be traced to heart values that we have. If we want somebody that is a, you know, she provides, or he's a provider, well, then I'm valuing the security of money. If I'm wanting somebody that is physically beautiful, then I'm probably valuing my own sense of identity and me looking good with him or with her. So all of these are tracing back to heart values that I have. And this is where I think, looking back on 25 years of dating, I missed this largely, and I think many do, that the key is not finding the person that meets the list, but rather being the kind of person that a godly man or woman would want. More the being than the finding. And I think we often get it backwards, and we end up then with people that meet that heart value, But in the long run, that heart value, if it's not grounded in a value of Scripture, turns out to really be a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
So that the beautiful woman who can't carry on a conversation makes you look good at the party, but you hate to spend the rest of the week with her. And the rich guy who provides security, you love it when you're at the nice restaurant, but his real pursuit, perhaps, would be his job and his career. And so we just get that all backwards, and then we end up with people that we deserve, but we don't, in the end, really maybe want.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's look back on 25 years of dating, because I think, you know, when I look at my story and my journey through dating, there are a lot of dates that I've gone on where it's been like, yeah, you know, that was fun. And I don't know that there was really a connection or whatever. And it's just kind of like, okay, that was a good person to meet. And then there are some relationships that I've been in that ended and were more devastating, where I really felt like this was going somewhere. This really, you know, I thought this was it. And then now I'm kind of back to square one. Did you walk through any seasons of grieving, Steve, in a sense of, I really thought this was going somewhere and now it's not. And God, where are you in this?
Yes. I guess I felt at the end of a relationship, and I would say I dated more than I had more dates than relationships,
mm-hmm.
Like deeper, long-term kind of relationships. I think there is always a sense of disappointment at the end of it, because relationships take time, energy, you get your hopes up. You know, nobody dates somebody hoping it doesn't work out. You're always hoping it does. And those are always, I think, moments of heart check. You know, am I counting on this woman or being in this relationship to be something that satisfies me ultimately? And, you know, all relationships, I think, are ultimately, in a sense, disappointing, because no human can meet the need that is created in my heart. Only God can meet that need. And if I look to that relationship to do it, then I'm going to be really devastated when a relationship ends. We've had a number of couples in our church who individuals in our church who go through, for example, through a broken engagement, and that is a very devastating thing to go through. But it always is a very much a learning moment. Regarding what really matters and what is my ultimate. And so I think dating, you know, Gary Thomas's book is Marriage is, you know, the purpose of marriage is not happiness but holiness. I think dating is the same. And if I look to dating to be, you know, this girl or this guy to be the thing that really brings meaning ultimately in my life, there's breakups and relationships ending are more devastating than I think they should be. Not if God is my ultimate and my hope is in Him, then I can trust Him. So there's always little theology moments at the end of a relationship. Do I really believe that? And can my knowings inform my feelings?